And after a phenomenal weekend for golf up there at Predator Ridge, stop down, spend a couple of moments with Dick Zokol, who is the golf and real estate specialist up there at Predator. Dick Zokol, good morning to you. What a weekend it was for Mr. Shifley. And already everybody is now talking about, is he the all-time greatest? Certainly the comparisons are already being drawn. The comparison to Tiger Woods. And the question now is will he supersede and exceed anything that was seen as a record that would stand forever for Tiger Woods?
Well, not yet. It was, and first of all, you know, let's talk about the Masters. What it really means, it's spring's rite of passage, and it launches the golf season. Everyone around the globe who watches it gets fired up for golf. And now that Scottie Scheffler has won his second Masters, you know, two in the last 3 years, you do have to look at his position, how well he's playing. In his last four events, he's won three times, Phil. And the other one, he missed a five-foot putt to get into a playoff. So he's in the middle of this performance and moving towards entering the discussion of Tiger. But he's got a long ways to go. But you got to love what Scottie Scheffler, who he is, what he's doing, how he handles the situation. How can you not love Scottie Scheffler?
Okay, so I'm going to take everything that you just put here on the table with me. But it was Phoenix 2 years and 2 months ago that he won his first PGA title. Mm-hmm. And that was just 2 years ago. He's now won 10 over that relatively, if you want to call it that, relatively short period of time. Shooting the lights out, is that a phrase that you do?
That's exactly the phrase. And he's proving it. He's constantly proving it. And the lovely thing about the game of golf, like life, is it's not what you've done yesterday, it's what you're doing right now. And every time he is put in that position, he reconfirms this new ascent that he is on. It's Tiger-like, but don't get ahead of ourselves. He's not there yet. He's on track at the early stages, but, you know, Tiger's got 20 years of domination. I mean, it's unbelievable what he has done, but it's great to see a couple of people that are just so grounded so well, guys like Scottie Scheffler and this new guy named Ludvig Åberg, is how you got to get the right pronouncing of this last name, and it's not easy. So he's another guy that are coming in to replace some of these guys that are moving over to the other tour. It's a very refreshing aspect of the game.
So let's just stay with Tiger for just a moment, please. And I'm not burying him and putting him in the grave, but I look at his payday from the weekend. Probably he didn't even pay for the gas bill for his corporate jet that flew him in as he came in to take his place in the opening round. The only thing that I know that's still bigger than anybody else about Tiger is the gallery that follows him is bigger than anybody else out there.
Exactly. And that's a reflection of who he is and what he's done over a 20-year period, or longer than a 20-year period. You know, the fact that he won the Masters in 2019 after the surgeries that he's had, you know, he's a completely different person. If you recall 20 years ago, he was talking about if he finishes second, it's losing and I hate losing. Now he's shooting 82 and he's got a smile on his face. And it's great to see because people are so appreciative of who he is now and the fact that he has the courage to continue, the desire to continue to play when I think other people would have packed their bags and called it a career years ago. The fact that Tiger is doing this, I think, is another great aspect to his new humility that he never used to have 20 years ago. So it's great.
I hear you, and I guess I found myself just thinking that, okay, Tiger, I'm reading about and I keep hearing about the worst round in your golf, in your personal history of the game of golf, the worst round you've ever shot.
Mm-hmm. Is
that not the sign that it's time to go?
Well, I guess it's easy to look at it that way, but, you know, a guy, you know, from a lot of the golf world and people that love the game of golf, really appreciate the fact that he has the courage to stand in there, take those punches. It's not easy to shoot 82 and feel good about it, particularly if you're Tiger Woods. But the fact that he's out there, people want to see him. People love him, and they want to watch him. And the fact that he has the courage and the ability to persevere through that those horrible numbers is just great. It's good for him, and it's good for golf, in my opinion.
Okay. The other thing were the warm goodbyes. I wasn't even close to seeing the final round of on the Masters.
Yep.
But there is a moment in time that everyone seems to be commenting on, and that was when current broadcast host Jim Nance took time out to, I don't know, say a warm, gentle, fond farewell to Vern Lundquist.
Vern Lundquist, yes.
Seems to be a big deal. Can you help me understand?
Sure, yeah. Vern has been there. He's not only been, he was the voice that called Jack Nicklaus's putt on the 17th hole in 1986 as, yes, sir! You remember
that that far perfect. Back.
and then he was there when Tiger hit that shot way, you know, the 40 feet up the hill that came back, and then it rolled down the hill and went in the hole, and he said, in your life have you ever seen anything like it?
Okay, so he's one of those guys.
Yeah, he's one. It's exactly what he is. So, and he's been such a humble person. He calls in, it doesn't matter if it's college basketball or in professional basketball, he's one of those icons in that have called it in the moment.
I saw on Friday coverage, and I don't know if it was the live coverage or if it was just a piece of news coverage, but it was at that point in time that the winds that people were talking about expected to hit 70K were bending some of these massive trees. I know golfers were, looking over their shoulder wondering, is that the moment we hear this earth-shattering, now loud crack as a tree comes down towards me. But I watched as a gust of wind hit the green and blew the ball.
Sure.
And I found myself thinking, so if you're playing your game around gusts of wind, and I'm the only guy who the gust of wind hit at that wrong time, how do you weigh and evaluate and measure that, I guess?
Well, first of all, you have to understand if it's happening to you, it's happening to everyone else on the golf course. So, and that's just the aspect of the game that factors into it, which, you know, I remember the 1992 U.S. Open on Sunday at Pebble Beach. It was blowing 40 miles an hour. And the average, I mean, Scott Simpson shot 88, and it was almost unplayable. And it's just part of the game that you have to persevere through, and which allows the person with the best perspective to handle the situation better than others. It gives them the edge to win. So that's just the nature of the game. It happens from time to time, and we watched it last Thursday and Friday.
Okay. Now, another story here that fascinates me. Bryson DeChambeau is playing a set of clubs that are 3D printed, 3D generated. These are irons that are now so crafted for the individual player. Is that where tomorrow's game is? Because right now, of course, you go in and you buy your set of clubs, and then your golf pro weights them and changes the handle, the grip, or whatever. But when you're suddenly printing 3D irons, I find the idea absolutely mind-boggling.
Well, I think as anyone who understands what Bryson DeChambeau does is he's pushing the technology, he's pushing all the science and the engineering, basically his swing, and now he's come out with this new set of irons. Keep in mind, people probably don't know that the face of all your irons are dead flat, but your woods, even metal woods and the fairway woods, have a bulge and a roll in them, so they're not perfectly flat. And what happens, so it cambers, and this bulge and roll on the face allows, if the ball is hit towards the end of it, a thing happens called the gearing effect, where it causes the ball, if you hit out the toe to the right, it causes the ball to hook back, or if you hit it on the heel of the golf club and it goes to the left, it curves it left to right back into it. So these are new technologies that that are being tested, and his irons apparently just got USGA approval to be used in tournament play a week before the Masters last week. So it's just Bryson DeChambeau pushing the limits, which is good. I think it's a great thing.
Were they going to disallow the clubs?
Well, all equipment needs to pass USGA qualification under the rules of golf before you use them.
Okay.
Because if they don't pass that test, and they all of a sudden look at your, you'll get disqualified. So you better get them approved before you use them.